As we prepare to enter into a small but meaningful act of service for the young people of Boulder, I think it's important for us to consider, what is it that motivates us? Now, there are all kinds of good reasons to care for people without shelter, so as to be a better society, to address abuses, to feel like you're doing your part. However, those don't quite get to the heart of why we, Valmont Church, are called to care and to act. So why do we do what we do? What is God requiring of us for the demonstration of this word we've just heard a lot of, the demonstration of holiness? How do we love our neighbors? The passage that we have heard today from Leviticus is a beautiful consolidation of what the Torah is all about. Surely we recognize the commandment that Jesus has lifted up alongside the Shema's insistence that we love the Lord our God, and so we are told to also love our neighbors as ourselves. Perhaps we can hear echoes of the Ten Commandments in the passage that we have just heard, commenting on how to apply their requirements in everyday situations. We might not know this, but this chapter is one of the most quoted by rabbis in all of Judaism, even to this day. You see, at the heart of this passage is God's holiness, which is a model for our own holiness, meaning that our actions are an outgrowth of why it is that we call God holy. But what does that even mean? What is holiness in the first place? Well, just definitionally, to be holy is to be sacred, by which I mean set apart, designated for a specific use. When describing something like a temple as being sacred, this would mean that the land, the building itself, and all of the implements within it are set aside for the specific use of worshiping a deity. They cannot be used for everyday purposes, for this would defile them. That idea becomes more complex when talking about a people being holy and designated for a specific use for the God of the Bible. We, with Israel before us, are meant to solely embark upon what God desires for us to do, not being defiled by the improper use of our lives. And this idea of defilement, of improper use of how we live, is why we can call errant behavior sin, which literally means missing the mark. You see, when our actions are incongruent with God and God's holiness, then we are missing the mark of our intended purpose, what God desires for us to do. Now, like I've said, our holiness is based on God's holiness. For God, holiness means being distinct from the creation that has been made. For Israel and all of the people who place themselves under the Lord's authority, holiness is the way that we are called to organize our lives. In this way, holiness is where faith and ethics meet. Holiness is putting into action the commands of God based on our beliefs about who God is and how God seeks to make our world whole, complete, at peace. Both the Hebrew and the Greek words for how God organizes these things combine two English words that we have sadly divided from one another, but that are essential that we hear in unison. When the Bible talks about God's holiness, it talks about God's justice and God's righteousness. and these are the same words in both Hebrew and Greek. From a biblical perspective, it is impossible for the world to be just without righteous behavior. And it is impossible for us to be righteous unless we pursue justice. Both of these are what set us apart. These are the things that we are meant to pursue in order to be holy as God is holy. Now, this takes us all back to the passage that we are considering this morning in Leviticus 19, which is all about the holiness of where our faithful righteousness and our ethical justice converge. This chapter, you see, is laser focused on helping us to see our neighbors and thus our obligations to them. We're meant to honor and to care for our elders, to protect times of rest for all people, to provide both food and dignity to the poor, to refrain from theft, whether this is taking someone else's possession or engaging in a bad business deal. We are to tell the truth and to be on the side of the truth. We are to pay people equitably and quickly. We are to allow for courts to work justice rather than pursuing vengeance as we see fit. And we are not to go around saying things about people that we've simply heard to be true, but don't honestly know the veracity of these statements. All of these things are how we are called to love our neighbors as ourselves, which is also the way that we are to go about loving God. And this command to love our neighbors includes both those who are native-born citizens as well as foreigners who are residing in our land. God recognizes all of these people as the ones that we are supposed to love. This is what God's holiness looks like, and thus this is what our holiness looks like as well. In a particularly heartbreaking verse contained in this passage that I think is important to highlight, we catch a glimpse of what it looks like if we reject God's vision of holiness and become acclimated to injustice running rampant within our community. In verse 14, God says, "You shall not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block before the blind." Why would any of us need to be told to do this? When we begin to see other people's weaknesses and their infirmities as opportunities for us to engage in cruel jokes or to improve our own position, we have completely misunderstood what holiness means for organizing our lives in accordance with God's righteous justice. These are God's beloved children and our beloved neighbors, and we must be set apart to build the kind of society that cares for the vulnerable, regardless of the challenges that they face. We cannot become complacent or apathetic to their plight, since the Lord our God is holy. In fact, the Torah commands us 36 times to care for aliens, widows, and orphans, which is certainly not an exhaustive list, but rather a list that orients our lives towards how God requires holiness from us. As is always the case when exploring biblical justice and righteousness, these things grow out of the Lord's own being, who is holy. We are not permitted to twist these callings so as to be either self-righteous or to institute a model of justice that does not love our neighbor as ourselves. We are called to be holy as God is holy, which means that we are set apart to be distinctive from the broken systems that are around us, that serve tribal interests and divisive agendas. We must live so as to lift one another up, to demonstrate mercy and to see God's ordering of creation increase so as to make the world whole. And this will only happen when our holiness fulfills what Jesus lifts up as the commandment that is likened to loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Loving the people who are around us, even as we love ourselves. The Apostle John, in his first epistle, picks up on this theme and clarifies it with exacting precision. We love because he first loved us. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. And he has given us this command: anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. So let us go and love our sisters and brothers amongst the youth of Boulder. Let us love the alien, the widow, and the orphan. Let us love the people whom the world would trip up and curse and exploit. Let us be set apart by how much we love, carrying out God's righteous justice into the world. Yes, my friends, let us be holy. Let us go forth in love. Thanks be to God. Amen.